You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 29th of May 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, once again, it's Friday. It's the end of the week, and you know what that means. It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, doing all right. You know, just we've made it clear to the listeners that we have more and more trouble finding clown world stories because of Corona. Now as societal collapse here in America is accelerating, it's getting tougher and tougher to find something lighthearted and humorous to end the week out on. I don't know, Sven, are we going to reach a critical mass to where there's just basically nothing lighthearted to even discuss anymore?
Yeah, it is getting quite difficult, isn't it? I mean, we could have looked at what's happening over there in Minnesota, where they're demonstrating just what a strength diversity is, but that would be too easy. So today we're going to be looking at interracial adoption, particularly one instance of it, which is really, really, it's just terrible when you think of how this is for the actual child himself that's having to put up with this. A YouTube influencer is facing criticism for giving up her four-year-old adopted son to another home after adopting him from China. We got two things here. I mean, what does she think she's doing? You don't adopt a child and then give them up. And she's actually using the term rehome for what she's doing here, which is what you do with a pet. So she's looking at the child as if he's a pet. But she should never have adopted a child from another race anyway. Just how horrible must that be for the child to be wrenched away from his own extended family and put with a group of people that he's never met these people before, and has probably never seen people that even look like that before. It's like you know, when you're young, you're told the story of the ugly duckling, and he's brought up, and he's not actually a duckling. He's really a swan, and how horrible it is for him because he doesn't understand things. He can't do things like the ducks do, and that's because he's not a duck. He's a swan. And apparently our people today are so stupid they can't remember the fairy tales from their youth, and they think that it's a good idea to do this with humans. I really, really feel sorry for this poor child on all accounts, really. I mean, it must be absolutely horrible for him to have been taken away from his people like that and put with somebody who is obviously incredibly shallow in the first place to think that this is an option if you want to adopt a child. I'll just stop there and pass it over to you, Grandpa. It really does irritate me, this story, that we have people like this among ourselves.
Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you use the word shallow. That's how these social signaling people are. They're very shallow. You know, she goes and adopts a kid from China, and as you pointed out, you know, takes the kid away from the people that look like him, like you say, his extended family, his people, brings them to America for nothing more so she could socially signal on the internet for her YouTube subscribers or whatever. You know, this is social signaling. Oh, we found this poor child from China, and we just had to out of all the billions of Chinese, you went and found this special one. And yeah, rehoming, exactly. It's like a pet, because that's the depth of any actual caring that these people have. All they care about is people congratulating them on what good thinkers they are, what good moral people they are, but there's absolutely nothing behind it. They don't actually care. It's nothing more than a pet. Oh, well, this one didn't work out. We're going to give them to somebody else. So now you've ripped this child away from its their extended family, the people who are like them, their own people, brought them to a foreign country on the other side of the world. And then on top of that, you turn around and go, oh, this isn't working out. So now you shuffle them to another house. Why? You know, because, oh, well, this isn't fun. After all, after the congratulations and the social signaling high, the euphoria of getting likes on your page or likes on your videos or likes on your Facebook, after that fun is over, then it turns into work. And of course, this kid has problems. Well, duh. You know, why do you think it was up? You know, this child was up for adoption, of course, because the kid has problems. But the act as though they couldn't find any kids to adopt in America is, you know, absurd. So obviously this was just a social signaling stunt, and then the fun wore off. So you just give this kid away like you would a pet. That's just this dog won't quit wetting on the carpet. So yeah, it's not working out. I'm going to send it to another shelter. I'm going to give it back to the shelter. I'm going to give it to somebody else and see if they can do anything with it, because it's an inconvenience for me. It really speaks to how shallow, absolutely shallow, these people are. They want to be portrayed as good thinkers. They want everybody to congratulate them on how, you know, righteous and morally, you know, moral they are. But it's all a facade. It's all fake, because it's all about themselves.
You know, I guess they're influenced by other celebrities like Madonna, who has a whole tribe of black children, Angelina Jolie. There's quite a few of these celebrities. But every time that I see these interracial adoptions, the poor child from the other race doesn't look happy. It usually looks horrified and very, very grumpy. And how adoption agencies can allow this, I just don't know, because they are supposed to be putting the child's interests first, and, you know, just to wrench them away from their own people. So, because when they look at themselves, when they look at their skin, they look at themselves in the mirror, they see an entirely different creature to the ones that are bringing them up. I mean, it must be an absolute nightmare for them. Mika Stauffer, 32, and her husband James posted a tearful video on Tuesday saying they've decided to rehome their adopted 4-year-old son, Huxley. Obviously, the tears were probably of joyfulness, because that's all they wanted to do was get rid of this kid. He'd served his purpose. He'd made them look as what wonderful anti-racists they actually are, but he's actually proved to be too much trouble than they thought. And the child himself, apparently he had autism, but they were expecting a child with a brain tumour, which probably would have been a lot harder to look after than a child with autism. And, I mean, wrenching a child away from his own people, it's going to cause symptoms like autism anyway. They're not going to want to be sociable, are they? They're not going to know how to be sociable. They're going to have completely different body language to the people that have taken them. And to use this phrase, rehoming, I mean, that is just unforgivable. James said that 3 years after adopting the boy, he and his wife had discovered there were a lot more special needs that we were not aware of. Well, what about the fact that he's Chinese? How are you going to compensate for that? How are you going to compensate for just the Chinese instincts and the Chinese intuition that is completely different to Caucasian instincts and intuition? As I say, Grandpa, I just don't understand how these adoption agencies that are supposed to be putting the child's interests first, how they justify this, because this to me just seems like torture. I mean, the child must be an absolute nightmare for him.
Well, more than likely people are being paid off somewhere is probably how that happens. And again, you go overseas to adopt a kid. Well, they're, you know, as they say, they're not going to give you their best and brightest. I mean, they're going to give you the ones that nobody over there wants, because obviously they have problems. One of the things I think is telling as we go through this story is what, even with just a little bit we've hit so far, is it's still all about them. Everything is how I feel. We're going to see as we go through this, everything is about themselves. Well, we discovered he had more problems than we anticipated. I feel so bad. It's about me. I. These people are so centered on themselves. Adopting the kid in the first place was about them. It wasn't about, oh, well, we want to, you know, bring this kid to a better place, blah, blah, blah. No, it was about them. And now that they're kicking the kid out after 3 years, I mean, they get the kid for 3 years. You know, I don't know how they're even allowed. You know, we're talking about how they're allowed to adopt these kids. Like, but how are they allowed to, quote unquote, rehome them? I mean, how the hell do you, you get, what is there, like a refund policy? Is there like a clause to where, like a warranty? I want warranty on my adopted Chinese kid because it's defective. So I get to send them back? I mean, how the hell does that even work? I would think that somebody would say, be like, you know, well, tough shit. You got them. Now they're your responsibility. But it's all about themselves. Again, as we go through the story, there's nothing about the kid. It is about these people and themselves. Adopting them was about them and their feels. And now getting rid of the kid is about them. And where they should feel absolutely like ashamed, they should feel some sort of, no, actually, remorse. Oh, they'll give lip service as we go along here. But even that in itself is really, you know, social signaling. See, I do feel bad. I really feel bad about this. See, me, the fact that I feel bad means that I'm a good person as well. These people are absolutely, absolutely just breathtakingly self-centered.
Of course, it's all been filmed as well because they're on YouTube. So the poor child has also been shown off as a trophy on YouTube. And now they're complaining that people are criticizing them, and they're pointing to the fact that they're crying and they've got their tears are flowing. It's just absolutely disgusting. Micah, who also has four biological children, added, "Do I feel like a failure as a mum? Like 500%. Well, if she's got four biological children, what on earth is she doing taking somebody else's child from another country? Surely somebody who is unable to have children in China would have been a far more suitable person to bring this child up rather than her. The fact she already has four biological children tends to say that this child was just there as a trophy. She just wanted to parade this child around. She wanted to look like Madonna and all the rest of them. She just wanted all the accolades for basically having a foreign child there. And there's no mention at all of them having any sympathies with China. There's no mention of them having a love for Chinese culture, an interest in Chinese culture, not even saying that they like Chinese food. I mean, the whole point of this is that it's just virtue signaling at the expense of this poor child. And the older a child gets, the harder it is for them to be adopted out, because the best years and the bonding years are when the child is as young as possible. And this child is now 4 years old with autism, and he's just going to be passed around from pillar to post in a country that is not his own, with a family that is not his own. And this woman is complaining that she's getting criticism. I agree with you, Grandpa. I think she should be locked up for this. It's a hideous thing that she's done.
Well, it's she basically, apparently they had this notion that they could take a, you know, probably a mildly, if not even moderately retarded child from China and insert them, and they would be just like their own biological children. I mean, they have these kids of their own, and they're like, oh, we'll just add one more and it will be the same. Obviously, it's not the same. And they were shocked to discover this. And yet, again, I guess they get a refund. They have a return policy. I've never heard of having a return policy on adoptions, but I don't know. I guess they have some kind of clause here. And then when they get obvious pushback from this and criticism for it, that too is about themselves. Oh, well, look, now people are hurting our feelings even more. Look, we feel bad. Well, yeah, you feel bad. Okay. But again, not bad enough to where you try to tough it out. You took on this responsibility and now you're shirking it. You know, as soon as when it got hard and you discovered it wasn't fun, it wasn't a grand idea to take a retarded kid from China and insert them with your biological kids and expect them to be the same. And when that didn't work out, well, you just give them away. I mean, I guess it was good they rehomed them. You think we keep making this comparison to pets. You know, I guess could have been worse. They could have done like these people that throw animals out. You know, they just go out there and drop them off on a street corner and then drive away real quickly. So I guess they didn't do that, or at least we assume they didn't. Hopefully they didn't. If this kid winds up wandering the street somewhere, we'll know that they just pitched him out and hope, you know, put him in a box. You know, please adopt me. Please pick me up. I can't take the. My adopted home can't take care of me or something.
Well, of course, they're saying a privacy concern, so they're not actually telling us what's actually happened to the child. Mika has 717,000 subscribers on YouTube. Her popular videos include Real Newborn Morning Routine 2019, What I Eat in a Day to Stay Healthy and Lean, and Survive Quarantine Like a Boss, Thrive and Get Your Life Back. Her sponsor partners include big name companies like Big Lots, TJ Maxx and Danimals Yogurt, according to the New York Post. Well, what are all these companies doing sponsoring someone that basically wrenches this child away from his own people and moves him over the other side of the world and then mistreats him? I mean, obviously, I mean, that is just neglect, isn't it? In the first place, it doesn't matter what you do for this child. He is still going to be suffering from neglect because he's not going to be around his own people. And yet these sponsor partners, these big name companies, they've been supporting her. And I mean, what sort of people watch programs like What I Eat in a Day? I mean, what is there to understand in that? What somebody else eats in a day or what somebody does in the morning? I mean, Real Newborn Morning Routine. This was obviously based around this Chinese child. And now that the child is not a newborn anymore, I guess they don't need him. Maybe that's what's really to do with this. They can't do any more of these baby routines with him. And he's not so cute now that he's 4 years old. So it's time to throw him on the trash heap. I think that's probably played a large part in this as well, Grandpa.
Oh, it looks like one of these things that's very illustrative here is how shit tier YouTube content now is. Apparently everybody who had anything interesting to say or entertaining to say or funny content to provide has been banned now. So this is what now constitutes quality YouTube programming. So Survive Quarantine Like a Boss, Thrive and Get Your Life Back. Real Newborn Baby or Newborn Morning Routine 2019. What I Eat in a Day to Stay Healthy and Lean. This is quote unquote quality YouTube content now that they've banned anybody that had anything remotely entertaining to say, because to be entertaining, funny is naturally going to be at some point going to be controversial. And one thing we can't have is anything controversial. So they've banned everything down. And this is what you're down to. And now that they have corporate sponsors, how does that even, I'm not even sure how that even works. How do they get corporate sponsors on YouTube? When am I getting my corporate sponsor, Savannah? When are we getting corporate sponsors for Radio Albion? Because I'm going to just tell, not to brag here, but I think, you know, a person can go through our content and say that we've got stuff a little more entertaining, a little more informative, a little more interesting to listen to than What I Eat Every Day and, you know, Newborn Baby Routine 2019.
Hundreds of times more interesting than that. I think these companies, they pay them to sort of mention them. So they'll talk about, I don't know, if they're sponsored by Pepsi, they'll have Pepsi in every episode. But why would anybody want to watch something like that? It's just a glorified advertisement. Can't they find anything else more interesting to find? I mean, obviously, as you're just saying, Grandpa, they should be tuning into Radio Albion, where they will get a positive moral message and hopefully learn something at the same time. Well, Micah and James cited medical privacy concerns for not explaining in detail why they decided to give Huxley up. She has previously stated that the toddler has autism and brain trauma. Well, I checked another article and they were told he had brain trauma, and apparently he didn't actually have brain trauma. But he did have autism, and I doubt that he had autism, because I do think that if you take a child from among his own people and put him with another group of people that don't look anything like him, he's going to show symptoms of autism, because he's not going to want to be sociable. He's going to be depressed. He's not going to be behaving in the same way that the young of the people that he has been placed with behave. He's going to behave in a different way. He's going to behave in the way that the young of the Chinese behave. Yes, they might all eat and they might all crap exactly the same as everybody else, but there are more subtle differences between the young of each race that he would be missing from being amongst his own people. And for them to say that he has autism, I think that's just an excuse. And really, the fact that so many of these people that do this interracial adoption, they don't appear to notice it. I mean, it just shows you how how thick-skinned they are to not notice it and to not think that that might be a problem in the first place. Because surely you must think, you know, is it a good idea to put kittens with a dog? Is it a good idea to put a lamb with a cow? You know, that is basically what's going on here. You've taken away this child and they've put him with people that are completely different. We know that I think from about the age of 6 months, they've done tests to show that babies prefer members of their own race. If you put them with members of another race, they're going to scream and cry. They're not going to feel safe. All their instincts are going to be telling them that this is not a safe situation to be in. And yet that's what they're deliberately doing here to these young children. I would guess that when they become adults, they're very confused. They really should be doing research into this interracial adoption. I know that some countries won't allow it for that reason. But the problem is, when you've got countries that are third world countries, the mothers there are quite desperate to get some money. Maybe they've got other children that they need to pay for. And the temptation is to sell babies to rich Western couples. That's why it's important that we, as the rich Western countries, should be putting a stop to this. We should be banning this. You know, it can just be because of political correctness that they've allowed it. Because to ban it, they would have to admit that there were differences between the races. But it really should be banned, I think, Grandpa. I just think it's such a horrible thing to do to a child. And under the disguise of pretending to be doing something good as well. That's what's really sickening about it.
Well, I mean, they can't stand the fact that, you know, reality, once again, has countered their desire to believe in the whole race doesn't exist narrative. You know, I mean, they want to believe that and they want to embrace it, and they say that it's true. And then they like you say, I mean, they do these adoptions and then discover once again that reality doesn't really care. I think it's laughable. One of the things I take away from this little section you covered here is it's absolutely laughable that these people have the nerve, after parading this kid around and using him as a prop for their YouTube channel, they have the nerve to actually then whine about privacy concerns. They were worried about the child's privacy concerns, so we really don't want to get into this. They paraded the kid around and used him as a prop for their crappy ass, you know, YouTube channel with no problem. They weren't worried about the kid's privacy then. They weren't worried about parading the kid around on YouTube to try to get more views and more likes for their video. They didn't have a problem with the kid's privacy then. But, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, anything that could, you know, make them look bad or whatever, now all of a sudden they're worried about this child's privacy concerns. It's all just laughable. And once again, it's just nonsensical in space. They're not worried about the privacy. They're just trying to kind of paint themselves in as good a light as possible. And a final thought here, just kind of getting back to what we were talking about, this corporate sponsorship for just a minute. I just sitting here after we started discussing that, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that you were saying that they mentioned the products on their shows and that's their corporate. I'm just suddenly my troll brain just kicks into gear and I'm thinking I should totally start doing that on my show. I should be like, you know, hey, this installment of the Church of Lampshades proudly brought to you by Pepsi this week, even though they're not, you know, just I'm sitting here, you know, product placement. I'm sitting here enjoying an ice cold Coca-Cola while we're doing our discussion this week. I think we should start, like, you know, totally having fake corporate sponsorship just for the lulz.
Yeah, they might end up paying you not to actually do use them as product placement, Grandpa. You might have,
and I would be totally fine with that. I'm good. Show me the shekels.
Yeah, I think that could well work. We'll have to look into that. Well, thankfully, people on Twitter were mad at the couple. They accused them of adopting Huxley as a stunt to gain viewers. Imagine that. She adopted a child for views and then got rid of him and treated him like a brand deal, one wrote. I never watched that Mika Staffer YouTube mum, but I am raging over the fact that they rehomed their adopted special needs son, wrote another. You adopted him solely for the attention it would give you, and now you're giving him away. Unbelievable, another chimed in. But Mika said in her video that it wasn't her fault, and she made the difficult decision for Huxley's own benefit. How could you say it's not her own fault. She's the one that is giving the child away. When you have a child, I mean, it's not supposed to be any difference between an adopted child or your own child. If the child that is in your care turns out to have certain illnesses or certain problems, you are that child's guardian. You can't just palm them off onto someone else and say, oh, well, it's faulty goods. Can we exchange him for another one? That's your child for life. And the whole point of adopting a child is that you understand that and you'll be there for that child for their life. You know, it's like that advert, a dog is not just for Christmas, it's for life. It's even more so with a child like this. I'm very pleased that lots of people are really attacking them over this, but they should lose all their sponsorship. That seems to be what people are aiming for, is to get them to lose their sponsorship. What do you make of these comments, Grandpa, that people have been making about them?
Well, as I sit here and sip my very tasty Maxwell House coffee, I find it very telling that her first reaction to this isn't to accept any sort of responsibility. What's her first reaction to this criticism? And this well-warranted criticism. And I mean, let's face it, again, pretty much, you know, YouTube and Twitter. Twitter's much like YouTube. Then, you know, anybody interesting, controversial. I mean, this isn't dissident right people trolling and attacking her. These are more than likely other lefties that are doing it. But her first response is what? It's not my fault. It's not my fault. She sits here and again, it's me, I. And then when they get some well-warranted criticism, and instead of accepting any responsibility for it and say, yes, I did this. I didn't know it was going to be, no, it's still her response right away. Her just knee-jerk first response is what? It isn't my fault. It's not my fault. This criticism is dead on. They adopted the kid for views. As I was just saying, they paraded this kid around for their YouTube channel. And now they have the nerve to say, oh, site privacy concerns. What privacy concerns? You put the kid all over the internet and those videos will be there in some form or another forever. When this kid grows up, when the kid's older, whatever, that's there forever. There's no privacy because you can sit there and say, oh, well, now I'm getting criticism. Well, it's about privacy concerns. And y'all just don't know how I feel. But it always comes back to me, I. For people like this, because that's all they care about. They never cared about this kid. They just care about themselves. It was about their own feels, about how the feeling they get by getting positive feedback. Well, now they're not getting positive feedback from other people and they don't like it. So it's not my fault. It's deflect. It's place the blame somewhere else. Shirk all responsibility. You know, if they really wanted people not to criticize them, they should have come forward and said, look, we did this. It's like a warning, I guess you could say, you know, look, we did this. We took on this responsibility and we're going to tell you that this is really hard. We're doing all this. We're struggling, but we're going to keep at it because we took this responsibility and we can't go back on it. But they did go back on it. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you just give a kid back, especially after 3 years. I mean, maybe if it was like 2 weeks after they got the kid, they're like, oh, whoa, wait, you know, this kid's missing an arm. And you didn't tell that 3 years, and they get to turn around. I don't know how that legally works, because the way I understand it, when you adopt a child, I mean, the paperwork is there. As far as the law is concerned, that child is your child just as much as your biological children. They're kids they have biologically might be sitting around going, man, if I act up, maybe they're going to send me somewhere else. I don't know how you even legally do that. How does this happen? It would be really interesting to find that out.
I would have had more respect for her if she'd said, look, we made a mistake. We shouldn't have done this. Interracial adoption is not a good idea. We are not equipped to provide for another race's needs. But she hasn't done. She's trying to say nothing. None of this is her fault. And it's all just the fault of the people criticizing her. She says, I didn't adopt a little boy to share these things publicly. And I mean, we could just stop right there, can't we? That's what she does for her job, is shares things publicly with all her children, all the pictures, all the videos. They've got all her own children in them. And now they've got this little Chinese boy, the odd one out, stuck in all these pictures as well. She says 95% of the struggles we have never publicly aired. in a video she posted on YouTube on Tuesday. Well, yes, of course, because 95% of the time is more like real life, isn't it? And she's trying to present this this perfect ideal of how life actually isn't, so that people look at that and think, my life isn't good enough. I need my life to be like yours. You know, this is the whole mentality of these YouTube celebrities, these product placement YouTube celebrities. So all of this was done so that she could share it publicly. I mean, you can pretty much look at what she says and say, well, the truth is the complete opposite of that. She says numerous medical professionals have felt that he needed a different fit. He needed more, she said. Well, I'm not a medical professional, but I could have told her right from the start that he needed a different fit and he needed more, and that a white family is not suitable for a Chinese child to grow up in. She added that an adoption agency had helped place Huxley with his forever family. A forever family? I mean, your family is your family. These terms she comes up with, rehoming, forever family. I mean, it's just incredibly insulting. She says, he's thriving, he's doing really well, and his new mummy has medical professional training. She added, who's that? The doctor in the facility that she's dropped him off at? He's probably in some care home somewhere. And all he's actually got is a doctor that comes in once a week to look at him. I mean, these excuses she makes, they're absolutely pathetic. What do you make of what she says here, Grandpa?
Well, I'll tell you what's not pathetic. The quality of my Charmin toilet paper that is provided. You too should get, I'm just hung up on this corporate sponsorship thing. It's really telling that I don't know how things are there in Britain. But again, she's using pet slogans. There are signs up, like I've seen billboards, you know, for pet adoption. And it says, you know, adopt a shelter pet. It's like adopt a shelter pet and become their forever family. She is literally, you know, and then rehoming. These are all, she keeps going back. And this is, maybe it's like a subconscious tell here, but she keeps going back and using terms that in this country, and again, I can't speak for other countries, but in this country, they are used in advertisements for pet adoption, forever family, rehoming. These are all pet adoption things. Like I say, you see them on billboards, give a shelter pet a forever home, a forever family. And she's using these terms for another human being. It's absolutely breathtaking. So I think another good question here in our criticism, our well-warranted criticism of this, she says that, you know, 95% of the struggles we've never even publicly shared. Then how did you pick and choose the 5% that you did? And why did you choose that? And as you nailed it, it's to make them look better. It's, oh, look, I'm a super mom and I can do all of these things. And some mom who's sitting at home with a mildly retarded child and pulling her hair out, she pulls this person up on YouTube and is going, oh my gosh, she's doing all these things and she's a super person. And I'm a failure of a person because I have this child that is retarded on some level or another. And I'm about to pull my freaking hair out. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm about to go crazy. I can't deal with it. But I pull up YouTube and this lady is doing this dream job. So I must be inadequate. I must be doing something wrong. What is wrong with me? She picked and chose. The 5% to once again, what? Make her look better, to make her look the best, to make them, put them in the most positive light. It's absolutely, again, all of this criticism is 100% warranted and then some. And now they're crying about the pushback. It's just live by the virtue signaling, you know, and perish by the virtue signaling, as it were.
Well, I think when she's talking about that 95% there, I mean, she was hoping that 80% of the time she'd be able to use for her YouTube videos, and it was only 95% of the time, so it just wasn't the investment worth the investment of her time in this Chinese lad. I mean, just the fact she says that, that thing there about 95% of the struggles we never publicly aired, I mean, that shows you that's what she was thinking about. She was hoping that she wasn't going to have any of these struggles and it would just be an easy investment and she'd get more likes on her YouTube channel and she'd get more sponsors. Well, thankfully, other commenters angered by the couple's decision have called on Mika's sponsors to drop her Sponsors are being notified. Hashtag cancel staffers. Hashtag staffer garage. Hashtag my cast staffer Fabletics Sensodyne, one person tweeted. At Fabletics, I'm sorry, but I would not buy from a brand that supports and pays somebody who has purposely used an adopted child for gain, views, likes, and money. This sick discarded him when it got rough, another person wrote. Well, it's not just her doing this. I mean, she's just not particularly bright, and we particularly picked on this one. But you've also got Madonna, you've also got Angelina Jolie, you've got so many of these white mothers that parade around these trophy children that have been kidnapped from their own people. And all of them are the sort of people that are just doing it for exactly what it says here, for views, likes, and money, and virtue signaling. One person asked Fabletics to reconsider their partnership with Mika because her behavior is unacceptable and reflects poorly on your brand. Well, I don't know who any of these brands really are, but they should have just dropped this woman the minute she brought this Chinese child in. It is... It really does need to be banned. I mean, what do you make of these other people that do this, Grandpa? I know there are others besides Madonna and Angelina Jolie, isn't there?
Well, the difference is these Hollywood celebrities are rich. They pay people to deal with these kids. Well, you know, when you see the pictures, you know, by the paparazzi, they're out with their African tribe or whatever. Those are photo ops. Those are staged. I don't remember who pointed it out at one time before. I believe it was one of the shows here on Radio Albion. I don't remember if it's you or Dr. Johnson, but somebody made the point that, you know, these people are brands. They're everything they say, everything they do is approved first. They are, you know, I mean, they're signed up to these contracts, everything to do. So when they go out in public with their African tribe kids, I mean, those are staged photo ops. They're doing that for a reason. That is an approved action. So that, you know, this isn't, oh, I just happened to be out with my kids and, oh, look, the nasty paparazzi took my picture. All of these things, this stuff is all orchestrated. But those people are rich. They're not actually raising those kids. They can afford a house full of nannies and caretakers to actually, quote unquote, raise these kids they bring in. These people obviously can't. They thought they could, you know, they thought they could do the same thing and it would work for them. But, you know, they can't afford an army of nannies to take care of these kids they bring in. And that's the real big difference. And I would just like to also say that, you know, like Fabletics, I have no idea what they sell, but I mean, we're open to a little corporate sponsorship here at Radio Albion. So give us contact. You know, we work something. We will absolutely work something out. And no, you know, again, they're quasi celebrities. They're YouTube celebrities and they're getting a little attention, a little money, but they're not, you know, at the level of these wealthy celebrities that you see on TV. But they were trying to live that same. They're trying to mimic that, copy that same routine, that same lifestyle. And when they can't afford an army of nannies, an army of caretakers, an army of doctors, whatever, then yeah, all of a sudden it's work. It's not fun. And this didn't work out. And I think you're probably absolutely right when you were speculating. This kid's probably been dumped off in an institution. Oh, there's a new mommy is a medical, a new mommy is a medical professional that's working a 10-hour shift at the facility. I think they probably, in all likelihood, I'm just speculating here. Obviously, I don't know. But I think you hit the nail on the head. I think they probably ditched this kid off at an institution. Well, they know that would make things worse. They're getting pushed back now. And they're trying to frame it and brush it up as, we found him a forever home. Imagine the push that they would get. They're like, well, we took and ditched this kid off at an institution. I absolutely think that's what happened. Because as I was talking about earlier, you know, I don't know how you would legally do that. I don't think you can legally adopt a kid, which makes it, again, in the eyes of the law, that is your kid. You can't just go and give them away like a stray dog. You cannot legally do that, but you can legally commit them to an institution of some sort if you can afford to pay for it. And I think that's probably absolutely what occurred here. I think they ditched this kid off in an institution because I don't see how they could legally just give it away to somebody else. You can't do that. I mean, there is a legal process for that. Again, when you adopt a kid, but in the eyes of the law, that's your child as much as your biological children. There is not a, oh, but clause there. I mean, they are legally your kids. We've heard these stories where men marry a single mom and, you know, after a couple of years, they adopt the single mom's kids. And then they get divorced and the guy goes back and is like, well, I don't want to pay child support because these aren't even my kids. And the law says tough shit. You adopted the kid. It is your kid. Legally, in the eyes of the law, it's your kid. You got to pay child support. You can't legally go take your kids and just give them away to another family because it's not working out for you. You just can't legally do that. And yet they're trying to give this narrative that they did do that. And I don't see how that happens. But they could legally commit the child to some sort of medical institution, some sort of institution somewhere. And I would be willing to bet that's exactly what they did.
It's very suspicious, isn't it? You know, I'm thinking that you're probably right there, Grandpa. Madonna's probably got a black nanny for her black children, because these other races, they have other cosmetic needs than we do. Blacks in particular, they have a completely different type of skin. Chinese have a completely different type of hair. Blacks have a completely different type of hair. And you need to have your own people to teach you how to care for yourself. I mean, I really very much doubt whether this woman here, this Mika, whether she knew anything about the differences between biologically between the Chinese and between Caucasians. But finally, we've got a comment here that was actually left on the article, which is very telling, by Laura71, and she's obviously someone who watches this woman's channel. She says, and she wants to adopt another child, one that has disabilities that seem difficult but are actually easy to deal with. Her words, not mine. Disturbing woman using this child for attention. She should be banned from adopting. And that says it all, doesn't it? She wants a child that still has disabilities, but that look very disabled, but are in actual fact extremely easy for the surrogate mother to deal with. I mean, that just says it all, doesn't it? How shallow this woman is, and she's just looking for a child as an accessory so that she can get more likes on her YouTube videos and more sponsorship. It's absolutely sickening, and interracial adoption should be banned throughout the world. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.